Good evening, everyone. This is your RCA Victor Overseas reporter, George Putnam, with the latest Associated Press news from all parts of the world. V-225 is a symbol that designates the visible evidence of RCA Victor's greatest achievement in the phonograph radio field. The V-225 is the finest RCA Victrola phonograph radio you can buy, a Christmas gift to leave the fortunate recipient breathless with its magical beauty and convenience, including all of the latest phonograph features, plus RCA Victor's famous radio with electric tuning. But above all, it has a spectacular feature found in no other instrument in the world, the Magic Brain record changer that plays records on both sides without turning them over. So be sure to see and hear the V-225, V-225 at your RCA Victor music dealers, the merchant who specializes in the gift that keeps on giving. The flame of ruthless war is burning clear around the world tonight, set off by a wanton Japanese surprise attack on American Pacific outposts from Guam to Hawaii and on shipping off the continental coast of these United States. The first blow fell with staggering suddenness, yet it was of such scope, reaching across thousands of miles of sea, that some definite strategic design in Tokyo must underlie it. Just what that design is cannot yet be discerned. Presumably, it is an attempted diversion to aid European Axis mates, but it may be intended to screen some major Japanese military movement against Russia or China or Britain, screen this movement from American intervention until it's too late. Tokyo's announcement of a war declaration was a declaration after the fact, a declaration that came after the bombing of Pearl Harbor and other Hawaiian targets and the torpedoing of an American ship 700 miles west of San Francisco. It removed all possibility of a Japanese military party coup to checkmate peace moves. It also changed Japan as irrevocably to the wheels of Hitler-Mussolini war juggernaut as it seals British-American mutual aid pacts. Unquestionably, the Japanese action sweeps away the last of American hesitation or uncertainty as to national policy. There can be no turning back now from the grim business of smashing the tripartite axis, both in Europe and in the Far East. It has struck first like a thief in the night. The Japan's diplomatic negotiators in session with Secretary Hull in Washington when word of the Japanese bombing raids came were stunned by the news is clearly indicated. Tokyo guarded its real purposes, even from its own peace emissaries. They've been catspaws of Japan's dominant military regime. Their real mission, unknown to them, must have been to gain time for a stealthy sea deployment for the Pacific attacks. They were sent to lull American watchfulness into a false security against attack while those meaningless conversations went on. This is the story of December 7th, 1941, a day that will long be remembered. At dawn, United States Army bombers and pursuit planes roared in the air soon after the word reached Manila of the outbreak of hostilities between Japan and the United States. Early dispatches indicated no casualties in the Japanese bombing of the Philippines. Later, this gave way to hopes that there were no deaths. A broadcast by NBC from Manila said that flying units of the United States forces had taken to the air, presumably to battle Japanese attackers. Japan presumably struck a harder initial blow at the Hawaiian Islands. The War Department gave the White House a preliminary estimate of 104 dead, more than 300 wounded in the Army alone, as a result of Japan's bombing of the island of Oahu. Neither figure included civilian casualties in the raid on the principal island of this Hawaiian group, Oahu. Late today, Governor Poindexter of Hawaii advised the president that heavy damage had been inflicted on life and property in Honolulu. At least one Japanese aircraft carrier was in action against the Pearl Harbor naval base. The White House announced at 6:08 p.m. that the Navy had just reported a squadron of unidentified planes over Guam, a tiny dot in the Pacific between Hawaii and the Philippines. And a little later, the president received dispatches saying that Guam had been attacked. The Japanese also struck at Shanghai, then sank the British gunboat Petrel off the waterfront, then sent their troops into a section of the international settlement vacated by United States Marines just a week ago. The United States gunboat Wake, lying not far from the Petrel, suffered no damage, but a pro-Axis radio station broadcast the Japanese forces had raised the flag of the rising sun over the United States gunboat. A blackout has been ordered tonight at Sitka, Alaska, site of a United States naval air station. A blackout of the Canal Zone and Panama also has been ordered. At this hour, Japan is engaged in war with more than half the population of the world. Her declaration includes the United States and Great Britain. And tonight, the lineup of nations joined against the land of the rising sun was bolstered by more declarations. Declarations of war by the Dutch East Indies, Canada, Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua. Great Britain's House of Commons has been called to session, presumably to declare the Empire's formal intentions. Our own can be expected as soon as the necessary wheels of democracy have been set in motion. President Roosevelt is meeting in an emergency session tonight, right now with his cabinet. Later, he's going to meet with leaders of both parties in Congress. No news from that conference as yet, but it is believed that Mr. Roosevelt is preparing a message to Congress, a message that he'll probably deliver in person tomorrow. Here's more on that story. Both houses of Congress will meet tomorrow at noon. Senator Connally has just announced that the president will address Congress at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon. The cabinet meeting didn't begin on time because of a traffic snarl on Pennsylvania Avenue. Cars were driving bumper to bumper in front of the executive mansion. Crowds of spectators pressed their noses up to the iron fence around the grounds. Secret Service men around the White House have been augmented. Extra police from the Washington force are helping out. Mr. Roosevelt decided on the special cabinet meeting after a talk with his War and Navy secretaries and the Army Chief of Staff, General Marshall. In advance of the meeting, Presidential Secretary Stephen Early announced that the conference would emphasize international affairs rather than military strategy. Our national capital went on a full war basis within an hour after receiving word of the Japanese attack. President Roosevelt ordered into effect detailed plans long prepared for the emergency, which came so suddenly. Uniformed guards in steel helmets and armed with rifles were placed about the War and the Navy departments and the other key posts. Both the War and the Navy departments ordered all officers into uniform immediately. And on this subject, the Navy Department has asked us to make a special announcement. Effective immediately, all naval personnel, including Coast Guard and Marine Corps, will wear uniforms at all times while on duty and when traveling in government conveyances. Civilian clothing may be worn at home or during recreational exercises or when traveling by other than government conveyance. The Federal Communications Commission has just placed special restrictions upon all international communications pending establishment of government censorship. Further operation of amateur radio stations in the United States, its territories and possessions, is prohibited. At the same time, the Navy announced that censorship has been placed on all outgoing cablegrams and radio messages. No other information was disclosed about the Navy's plans. However, Brigadier General Alexander Searles, Director of Public Relations for the War Department, told reporters, "Now we are at war. As far as publication of military information is concerned, all responsibility stops." The Army's news chief said, however, that he and his associates would do their best to get the news out as rapidly as is humanly possible. Congress was quick to comment on the explosion in the Pacific. Most of the legislators freely predict that Congress will adopt a declaration of war without hesitation if the president requests one. Such vigorous critics of the administration as Senator Wheeler of Montana, Representative Fish of New York, are calling for unity. Says Wheeler, "The only thing now is to do our best to lick hell out of them." Fish, for his part, says he will make an address in the House tomorrow calling for a united front in support of President Roosevelt. Chairman May of the House Military Committee says he favors an immediate declaration of war. Chairman Walsh of the Senate's Naval Group says that the nation must quickly meet Japan's challenge. This is the general reaction by our congressmen. In the wake of Japan's attack in the Pacific, our nation has become a united front tonight. North, south, east, and west, all sections of the land are taking actions designed to maintain order and prevent sabotage. With the entire Pacific coast on a virtual war basis, Mayor Rossi tonight declared a state of emergency in his city of San Francisco. Rossi demanded an immediate halt to all strikes. Air raid listening devices have gone into action at scores of Southern California defense factories, alert for any sign of an air raid. Here in New York, all foreign shipping has been canceled. The Coast Guard has doubled its patrols against possible sabotage. Offices of the two Japanese newspapers located in the Times building have been closed. All operations orders suspended. TWA, American, and United Airlines have refused to transport any Japanese national or any person suspected of being a Japanese national. Mayor LaGuardia, in a broadcast over these very facilities earlier tonight, assured all the people of New York that every necessary precautionary measure has been taken. LaGuardia, who is also National Director of Civilian Defense, ordered all Japanese subjects to remain in their homes until their status is determined by our federal government. This ruling is now in effect in many states. LaGuardia also called on civilian air raid wardens and auxiliary firemen to stand by to wait for orders and be prepared. And that certainly seems to be the theme of this nation. Be prepared. The die has been cast. The people of America are ready. Immediate and vast expansion of the nation's armed forces is regarded in military circles tonight as certain. It is believed that one of the first steps would be to call all enlisted reserves to active duty. This would mean a return to Army posts for those Selective Service trainees who recently were discharged from active duty because of being past the age of 28 or for other reasons. With a declaration of war by the United States, men in the age bracket between 28 and 35 registered under the Draft Act would be liable for immediate call to training. In a story almost buried in the welter of special bulletins of the Japanese affair which we've been receiving tonight, we learn that the CIO has won a tremendous victory. The arbitration board, which had been studying the captive coal mine dispute, has reached a final decision, a 2-to-1 vote in favor of a union shop in the mines. Thus, the CIO's United Mine Workers Union gained the objective for which it had been fighting. Here's a bulletin, Singapore, Monday. The Japanese have landed in North Malaya. It was announced officially today. The America First Committee will, of course, support the war if Congress declares a state of war. This has just been announced by General Wood, chairman of that committee. Wood said a special meeting of the America First Executive Group will be called Tuesday. And now for the very latest news from overseas, it's heard at the NBC shortwave listening post. The Panama radio says that a Japanese aircraft carrier was sunk off Honolulu today. At least 350 men were killed in a direct hit on Hickman Field, Hawaii, according to NBC's own observer in Honolulu. The Air Force of the United States Army of the Far East has taken to the air, according to NBC's observer in Manila. Manila itself has not been bombed as yet. A Berlin radio commentator says that President Roosevelt's warmongering policy, which reached a culmination last week, has now led to military clashes between the armed forces of Japan and the United States. That is the reaction from Berlin to the Japanese declaration of war on this country. According to an NBC broadcast from Honolulu, the USS Oklahoma was set afire in today's air attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. The London radio says that large German tank forces are now astride the main road leading from Moscow to Tula, that the situation in the Moscow sector remains serious. The London radio has just issued a report that Singapore has been attacked by Japanese planes. The Panama radio has broadcast a message to all reservists and other members of the armed forces to return to their posts immediately. Russian troops have undertaken landing operations in the Crimea on the southern front, but the Red troops were effectively repulsed by German forces, according to the Berlin radio. The Moscow radio says that the Russian advance from Rostov has attained a depth of 50 to 75 miles, that the Reds are still making progress. That was the very latest news from overseas, as heard at the NBC shortwave listening post on special RCA shortwave equipment. Late flashes in just a moment, but first, for the present with the future, shop at your Victor Record dealers, a store of magic for any age, any taste. Home of Victor Records and RCA Victor radios and phonograph radios. If you would give the best, there's RCA Victrola V225, the finest RCA Victor phonograph radio that money can buy, with a magic brain record changer that plays records on both sides without turning them over. Less expensive, of course, but just as great a value is RCA Victrola V135, a splendid table model with an automatic record changer, jewel point pickup that eliminates use of needles, and a fine radio with built-in loop antenna. Splendid gifts, both ensuring lasting remembrance for the giver. Remember, too, to ask your dealer about the new Victor Music Card, the giant greeting card that holds the gift record of your selection. This year, shop in record time at your Victor Record dealers for the gift that keeps on giving, Victor Records and RCA Victrola phonograph radios. Singapore. Two bombs fell in the center of Singapore today, and a number of others were heard to explode in various parts of the island. And here are some special announcements which the War and Navy departments have asked us to bring you. The 2nd Corps Army Area Headquarters here has revoked all leaves and furloughs, has ordered all men to report to their posts. It is desired that permanent and temporary military personnel of Mitchell Field return to that field at once. All Navy personnel in the 3rd Naval District are requested to report to their ship or station as soon as is possible. All Marine Corps recruiting offices will be open tomorrow morning at 7:30. The recruiting division of the United States Navy announces that its recruiting offices will be open from 8 a.m. tomorrow. Here's the weather forecast. Tomorrow, fair and cold. Later Monday, increasing cloudiness. The temperature is 31. Tune in WEAF again at this same time tomorrow night, 11 o'clock, for your RCA Victor Overseas reporter with the latest news from all over the world. George Putnam speaking. Stay tuned to this station for the latest news bulletins.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.